outstanding tweet I received from Rick, at Rick B. I'll tweet it out in a little bit. It said, Doug, it's about time you got back to work, slacker. No Achilles, not an excuse. I got to tell you, I'm impressed with that. Yeah, they sliced my Achilles and then shaved, then took a chisel. It was weird. I woke up during surgery and they were chisel. I could hear the chisel on my heel and I could feel in my hip my leg being jarred around. But I couldn't feel my foot at all.
Good nerve block right there.
And the doc, it was a good nerve block. And the doc asked, is everything all right? Do you mind hearing everything? I said, no, I'm fine. All right. So then I stayed awake the rest of the surgery. And it was weird hearing your bones being chiseled.
Yeah, I mean, you could have had Yanni on in a headset.
No. No way. But and also the surgery happened during that time because I did the show on a Friday morning and then I went straight to the hospital. So it's like, I don't even know if you need anesthesia because I sleep like crazy during nap time. No one can mess with me. Today's a big day coming up at 1 o'clock today. At 1 o'clock, you have to, it's the deadline to have a long-term deal done for a player that's been franchised. So a lot of people say Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers is on a holdout. It's easy to say that. And it's simple to say it. There's nothing wrong with saying it, but technically it is wrong. He is not under contract. He hasn't signed any contracts with an NFL team. So you can't hold out when you're not under contract. A contract holdout is David Johnson. Is under contract, required to be at minicamp, and he held out his services. So he is a holdout. Bell is not a holdout. But coming up at 1 o'clock, boom, if you haven't signed a long-term deal, your franchise tag now is fully kicked in. You're playing under the franchise tag whether you like it or not. And then, in a sense, even though he didn't sign a contract, there's a little stronger case that he's now holding out because there's nothing you can do. You're playing under that contract or you're not playing this year. What do you want to do? You are the former Steeler in the room. It does seem like a deal is going to get done. I don't know. It just feels a lot different than last year, doesn't it?
It does in a lot of senses because this is the closest that they've admitted that they're close to a deal being done. Last year, miles apart. And it's like, hey, you're just going to have to play through this franchise tag. We're not budging on this. You need to go out and prove it. Well, he went out. He proved it. And he said, hey, I want to be the highest paid in the game. I want to be valued for my services and what I bring to your team. Well, you say, hey, what does Le'Veon Bell bring to our team? Well, he's got the most yards from scrimmage on average in the first five seasons since the NFL merged with the AFL in 1970. He averaged more than Jim Brown. You can throw the Jim Brown argument. He's 4 yards above him. So he is the most...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the most dynamic guy on the football field when the ball is in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Over 7,000 yards in five seasons. Crazy, almost 8,000. So you understand where his standpoint is, but the problem is the rest of the field that you're marking him against.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he wants to be head and shoulders above it. The highest ones right now, Devonta Freeman, 8.25. Well, Le'Veon wants more than his franchise tag, which is 12.1. He wants in the 14.5 range.
Every single running back contract affects the David Johnson negotiations. So don't think it doesn't affect it. Now, the argument then becomes, to what degree does a Lev Bell affect the David Johnson? Because we know David Johnson's going to get nowhere near the money that Bell's going to get. But every contract sets the bar. Do you think some of the holdout is, and I don't know this, is the David Johnson side of things saying, we don't have to hurry on this because all we've done is miss minicamp. Let's wait until this deadline passes. Let's just see how much Bell makes. And then we're not going to say, okay, we're this close to Lev Bell, but it'll actually help us set the bar a little bit of what we're shooting for at David Johnson's level. Because we all know the system is stacked against running backs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to deny that at all. Yet at the same time, I am a believer you signed the contract, play under your contract.
Hey, and for David Johnson's perspective, the thing that's hurting him the most is going to be age. You know, they don't pay running backs after the age of 30. And so if David Johnson played out his contract as is, he'd be over the age of 30. Mm-hmm. And that's where the crux comes in. This is the last really point that he has where he can stack that leverage. And he does. And, you know, he wants more than the Devonta Freeman contract, rightly so. When healthy, 2016... who was better? I mean, the guy was pushing record numbers for the position and then unfortunately gets injured first game, you know, of last season. But the expectation coming in is going to be the same as the end of 2016 going into 17. And he's in a Mike McCoy offense, which is geared around running backs, short passing game.
With the defensive head coach that I'm assuming wants to run the football too.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to be asked to do as much, if not more, than what Le'Veon Bell's going to be doing. So it's like, if I can get in between Devonta Freeman and whatever Le'Veon Bell gets, that's my range. I don't want to be going at the Devonta Freeman because that's where the standard is right now. I want to go where Lev is going to go. And, you know, in that area, I want to be above Devonta Freeman, but right below Lev because I'm not going to be there. And then the Lev Bell contract kind of helps more so your Todd Gurley's, your Ezekiel Elliott's when they come out because that resets it. But if I'm him and say Le'Veon gets 13.5, Devonta Freeman's at 8.25, I want to go ahead and say, you know what? Can I get to 10.5 to 11?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I want to go. I'm not shooting for the moon where Lev is. Let me just follow amongst the stars.
Phoenix Convention Center will once again host more than 75 of the Southwest's best craft brewers with over 350 craft beers, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Man, that sounds like a good time. You can take me if you want. You have to, like, deal with me and my scooter. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter for complete details on the real Wild and Woody. Wild and Woody? It's usually Wild and Woolly.
Yeah.
My job is to read it. Wild and Woody Indoor Beer Festival on July 28th.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily, brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer and official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Is anybody else as immature as I am that you laughed at that? I just wanted to know.
The 2-1 pitch and a ground ball down to third. That's a fair ball toward the corner. Extra bases. Peralta over to get it in the corner. Comes to him. They're throwing the runner around third base. He'll come in and score. Swanson's got an RBI double, and it's 1-0 Atlanta.
Very interesting performance from Dansby Swanson as he goes 4-for-9 for a .444 batting average against the Diamondbacks. Yet, just in case you were wondering, Shelby Miller did not pitch in the series, so that was a nice performance by Swanson.
And the next one, and there's a ground ball down to third. That will score the runner, and the throw to first is thrown away by Lamb. Albies will get to second base, and he's not going to stop there. He's going to try for third. A good throw. Get him. Here it is, and he is safe at third as the ball is dropped. Marte dropped the throw. Otherwise, they had him dead to right. 2-0 Braves lead.
By the way, just to be fair, that was not a shot at Shelby Miller. It's a shot at Dave Stewart for the trade. There's a difference. It's not Shelby Miller's fault. If the Diamondbacks trade for me, I'm going to say, hey, this is great. This is awesome. Even though I'm going to stink too, you know. But I'm not shooting at Shelby Miller. I am still asking, Dave Stewart, why did you do that? But what else am I going to talk about? Because all these highlights, they're Braves.
The check of third and a drive into right. That's going to get down for a hit. Another run in. All the way to the wall. Jay over to get it. Freeman's into second with an RBI double. And it's 3-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, it got worse as Patrick Corbin in this game pitched well except for one inning, gave up 4 runs. But the big key to this game was not him as a pitcher. It was him at the plate as he came up in the third inning with 2 runners on and nobody out, and he was simply going to bunt. That's all he needed to do was bunt. And he bunted the ball about 4 inches away from home plate, but it went up the left field line. And for anybody that doesn't know, home plate, it points towards the catcher. Why does it, if you're a gym school teacher, please get that right, because every kid that knows baseball mocks you if you don't get it right. At least I do for Miss Green to this day. But the reason why it points back to the catcher, that's where the foul lines meet. That's why there's a point at the back of the plate. And then it extends out. Therefore, the foul line goes through the batter's box, even though there's no line on the batter's box. It was clearly a fair ball, and Patrick Corbin just looked at it. Then by not running, it's a double play. Diamondbacks end up out of the inning. That was a bigger deal. And how Torey Lovullo didn't go nuts, I don't know. Somebody's got to be starting to be held accountable on this team because it's not happening.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer and official partner of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
D-backs finished the last 16 games of the first half of the season 6-10. They lose 5-1 to Atlanta yesterday. Coming up next, what is the D-backs' attitude heading into the break? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm not in any way set up for a full-on rant or anything. Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. My name's Doug. I'm back today. I'm off tomorrow, and I admit fully I'm being a wuss. The reason why I took off tomorrow is I wasn't sure if I was tough enough to handle today. And so far, I admit it's going well. The foot is swelling, as I sit here, but it's going well. The catch is Jennifer is too scared for me to drive to work myself. So Jennifer drove me to work this morning.
That's a good response.
And then what was weird is, I don't know, I might have gotten fired. I'll find out later today if I got fired. I couldn't get into the building. So I find out if I'm fired later today. I couldn't get in. None of my key cards worked. So I might have been canned. And then they didn't realize they don't have anybody to replace me today. So they'll just let me on today and then they'll fire me at the end of the show. I don't know. But I couldn't get into the building. So there was that issue. And so I don't know if my wife wants to keep driving me in. So I might take more days off this week just because of that.
Well, or the fact that you were scheduled for Wednesday and they just cut your key card off until Wednesday.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that. I didn't know they had that power.
Well, apparently you won't know until they actually get your key card fixed.
You're right. Now, you got in just fine.
I have to wait till 5 a.m., though.
Really? Have time set on it.
My key card will not get me in the front of the building. It'll get me in the actual studio before 5, but I can't get in the physical building to get to the studio until 5 a.m. My key card doesn't work.
Super Bowl champion Max Starks filling in for Wolf. Wolf will be back on Wednesday. This is Torrey Lovello talking to Fox Sports Arizona following the 5-1 loss to the Atlanta Braves to wrap up a 6-10 stretch in the last 16 games before the end of the first half of the season.
I didn't get a chance to talk to them as a group. I delivered messages to different groups throughout the course of this trip. So just to play good baseball coming into the All-Star break and coming out of it, enjoy the break and get away, but be ready to recharge your batteries as soon as you possibly can when you get back to Arizona, because it's going to be an exciting second half.
How often, and I'm making you represent all of coaches and all student and all athletes in the world here. Max Stark's now representing every professional athlete that's ever played, and not that any professional athlete has ever disagreed. So now you're forced to accept everything, and that is the difference between what you say to the media, which is in a sense to the fans. Okay, nobody really cares. You're talking to Jody Jackson is not a threat. Okay, you're not worried that Jody Jackson's going to pummel you as a journalist. She's a very nice person, but she's fair. But she's a nice person. But you're talking to the fans, so that's really what matters. How much is the gap between what is said to fans and what is said to the players? Because listening to the comments of the past 3 weeks from the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's everything's going to be okay. And I'm looking at the offensive numbers of human beings that were supposed to contribute, and they're so atrocious, everything's not going to be okay. So when you hear Torrey Lovello say, hey, get ready for some good baseball, it's going to be an exciting time. I don't look at this and say, this is fun. Being in second place to the Dodgers and not a wild card team right now is not fun. I want to see bats being thrown. I know that's not going to save the world. I'm smart enough to know that, but it's too soft right now. What do you hear as you represent every professional athlete? What's really going on?
Well, do you want me to be Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells? Or do you want me to be Ron Rivera? I mean, that's really about how wide the gap is depending on who you talk to.
Okay.
And I think in a lot of respects, you know, Torrey Lovello, what he's going to say to the fans is not going to be what he says to his players in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be frustrated, but listening to what he said over the last 3 weeks, even though it's not been a good 3 weeks, you had a couple of good games, you've had some spikes in the radar, but overall it hasn't been a consistent performance. And like you said, it's been a lot of excuses, but I think he truly believes they're gonna be better coming out of the break, and that their team went with health, with bullpen health, with pitching guys coming back, and he feels like some guys are in a slump right now that it's going to get better. But the reality is I haven't seen enough as a fan that I'm like, you know what, Coach, you might need to kick a couple of guys in the pants in the media to get them fired up, because it's not going to happen on their own. You're not going to get another Archie Bradley, this is our house moment at the rate you're going. And last year was your stepping stone. You weren't supposed to be good last year. You make it into the wild card, and then you have zero left in the series against the Dodgers. Well, now we need to see the stepping stones. We need to see you actually get in the playoffs without having to fight in a one-game wild card and burn your bullpen again and burn through your starters. And you guys need to look like you're making progress.
Because I want to make sure that I'm fair when I say this. All of us that are listening, there's a 99% chance you're a human being. Okay, I'm pretty confident of that.
Pretty sure.
If you're listening.
And therefore, dogs on the radio.
You are an inhuman human being if you actually think you're so great that you have your best day of work the day before vacation. There is nobody that is less productive in the world than the guy before they leave for vacation.
That foot in the parking lot.
Yes, you got your foot in the parking lot. You're already thinking about it, and you're thinking, what did I forget? So you can get going on the vacation.
Exactly. Like, listen, I need a bottle opener because there's going to be a bucket of beer somewhere where I'm at on the beach.
And
I will be darned if I'm going to be on that beach without a bottle opener.
And I hate that. And I am going to be the first one to admit. Now, it didn't happen this year because I didn't go on vacation. I just went straight into surgery after the show a couple weeks ago.
Well, technically, you went on vacation on a couch, which you can still have the bucket of beer next to you. It's just not on a beach.
I did get special permission I was allowed to have one beer while taking the Percocet.
Okay.
But I wasn't allowed to have more than that. But
man,
as soon as the Percocet
anything.
Was gone, boy, the beers came back fast.
Exactly, because that's liquid Percocet.
So I bring this up to say I understand the Diamondbacks are human beings, and a lot of them had their mind on where they were going next. Yet at the same time, you cashed all your chips in May. I would have liked to have seen, and this is not Goldie's personality, be clear here. I would like to have seen something said before that game of let's go. I would like to have seen somebody say, let's finish this game strong. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but here's why. The Jake Lamb error, terrible. The bunt by Patrick Corbin, awful. Not running after the bunt, awful. Chris Owings, but A.J. Pollock getting picked off, awful. There were so many un-D-back-like things that happened in a 5-1 loss that I look at that loss and say, the Braves didn't beat you. The All-Star break beat you. Leaving to get on the flight, wherever you were going, beat you. You did not come into that game ready to beat the Braves. You came into that game ready to start your break, and you started it before the game started. And to hear the Torrey Lovello comments that are just so nice about the game, that bugs me. That team was too good to play like that yesterday. I have to believe it had to do with the All-Star break. Would it have affected all of us? Yes, it would. I'm not denying that. But you cashed in all your chips in May. May was so bad, you lost the right to think about vacation before that game.
But here's the thing. They won the series, though.
I've always felt like that's an excuse. Well, we won the series.
Well, it's not an excuse, but when you look at what they did against the Rockies and how they absolutely fell apart and got torched.
Yes.
Games two and three.
Yes.
The fact that they could come back and win those first two after such a poor pitching performance that you got Godley and Greinke to go ahead and go the length that you needed them to go, and they were good at it. I felt gave them the room for this game to kind of be bad. I didn't want it to be as bad, but I knew a loss was looming at some point, especially when you have Patrick Corbin available to pitch in the All-Star game.
They did win the series, but they only scored six runs in the series.
But it won the series.
It's not enough.
If you were in the playoffs and you need them to win games, it doesn't matter what the score is. It matters if you get a W in the win column.
Then if this team makes the playoffs, then I'll think back to this Braves series and say Max Starks did it. Good
job. Okay, I'll call in for that.
Coming up next, who will the starting quarterback be for the Arizona Cardinals? One Cardinals insider thinks they know. That insider? It's Patrick Peterson. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Okay, I don't know which side of the fence you're on, but we have two opinions here on the show, and you can obviously choose which side of the fence that you're on. And that is, this is one of them. This is from at Who Matt June. Matt says, so glad you're back for my morning drive. The show was bad last week. So take that, Max. But then there's another one from at Trance 26. And at Trance says, compared to last week, Max seems bored. Him and Luke had good chemistry. So I don't know which one it is. Either you're bored with me and you're lacking chemistry with me, and that would be on my bad. So last week was better. Or you're on the sign of Matt June and you just want to blast Luke. Poor Luke, for some reason. All he does is fill in and help out everybody.
Yeah, and once again, if you notice the name, Who?
Yeah.
Matt June?
Yeah.
I'm saying Who? Talking about me? Really? Really?
Well, guess what? Luke's
you see
back.
Me in the fries. Let's talk about it in person.
Luke's, wow.
Yeah.
Ready to throw down.
Yeah.
How's that for boredom, then?
Talk about being excited. Let's
I like
go.
That.
I'm juiced up now.
By the way, Luke's in tomorrow, and I think he is. And,
I mean, who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then,
thank you, Wolf.
Wolf
thank
is you, back Wolf. On Wednesday, okay, Wolf? Can we just get a little break? We'll get more of you coming up on Wednesday, all right? I fully admit, I'll be the first one to say this, I'm talking way too much today. I'm really, if you just want me to be blunt, I'm doing a poor job on today's show, but it's kind of entertaining to do a poor job. And I just looked at Bear, and Bear nodded, and I don't think he wanted me to see it. Like, I think he was, like, looking over at Maloney to just kind of go, yeah, but at least Doug admits it. And then all of a sudden, he saw me looking at him when I was
Trick.
Like, yes, I know.
Bear, put headphones on and act like you're listening to music if you're going to nod your head.
It'll make it better. This is Patrick Peterson. Yesterday, he was in the Celebrity Golf Tournament at Lake Tahoe. By the way, if you haven't seen the catch.
Yeah. That was phenomenal.
He made an outstanding catch at the Lake Tahoe Golf Tournament. I'm serious. If you Google Lake Tahoe catch, you know, we'll try to tweet out a link to a video of it. If some fan threw him a football from the beach to get him to autograph it. And just his natural athleticism was, I'm not paying attention. Oh, my gosh, there's a bad throw and a football being thrown somewhere near me. And makes an OBJ one-handed catch. Maybe it's just LSU. Maybe it's not an OBJ thing. Maybe it should be said LSU.
It's an LSU type grab. I mean, Moss made it popular, so I mean, I would say he mossed it, but OBJ is obviously the popular contemporary choice.
Yeah.
So you got to say OBJ. But it was impressive. It was an impressive toss, and I was like, yep, that's why he's one of the top defensive backs in the league.
That was fantastic. Here's what he had to say when he was asked by NFL Network about the starting quarterback situation.
As of right now, I probably would take Sam due to his experience, due to some of the records that he have in the league. Because when Sam is healthy, he's on the field and have talent around him. He's a top tier quarterback. You know, just the biggest thing, the biggest knock on Sam is just staying on the field. You know, so I think we have a pretty good opportunity of keeping him on the field because last year he didn't have to pretty much fix anything, just cleaning up his knee. So hopefully our training staff can do a great job, can keeping him on the field. And if he's on the field, you know, we'll see what the chips stack and where they fall at the end of the season.
The Patrick Peterson, by the way, I forgot to look this up, so I'll try to look it up in just a second. And that is where he officially placed, because rumor has it he is 99% self-taught in the game of golf. Just picked it up after he became an Arizona Cardinal and has an unbelievable desire to become good at it. And I don't know if he's going to be at the level of Fitz where you're actually winning pro-ams before.
Yeah.
But the winner, this tournament, I've never been to it, but it seems like it's an unbelievable event on the shores of Lake Tahoe. Tony Romo won the thing. Pavelski from the Sharks was close almost all the way through. And then he fell apart. I should say fell apart. That's a little strong. And Eric Gagne, he finished in ninth place, and this is not I don't try to do this for any reason, but I've been in a golf tournament with Gagne before, and what drove me nuts, I'll just rip him, what drove me nuts about him for a guy that finished in ninth place, I'm bad, okay? So if you play in a tournament with me in a best ball or, you know, some kind of a scramble, you will use my drive once or twice out of 18 holes. But I'm a pretty good putter, so I'm usually an asset to a scramble team because I can putt. Gagne is a better putter than me. And what drove me nuts is I would make the putt thinking, look, I just contributed. He would always then mark his ball and putt anyway. Just to rub it in and look, we didn't need your putt. And that was the worst. I mean, like, hey, I'm doing something. And every time he almost always made the putt too. And, it, and then, of course, and if I missed it, then he would make his putt. So it was he was that guy. I've never played with somebody that putts after the putt is made in a scramble. There's got to be a flaw there. There's got to be a faux pas in being that guy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I would be completely pissed off.
okay,
good. If I was in that same situation, because there's only so many opportunities where I can contribute to this team, and I like to hold on to my couple of opportunities. You know, I play in a couple a year, and so I was at one of my really good friends and former teammates, Willie Colon's annual golf tournament up in New York. So we're playing in New York, and the team, I mean, we're okay. We're there to have fun.
Yeah.
This is for charity, first and foremost.
And for beer.
Yeah, exactly. And Brooklyn Brew House was a sponsor. So, it was awesome. But, you know, I'm like, okay, listen, guys, you know, before the match starts, like, listen, I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to be able to count on my drive every time. And I was like, maybe a couple times. I was like, it goes a long way if you measure, like, in geometry. You measure straight and then to the side, like, at a right angle. That yardage is sick. But it's not going to go that far in a straight linear direction. Okay, cool. I said, but my mid-range, mid-club game is pretty good getting you on the green. And then I was like, my putting. So I'm not great off the box, but I'm going to get you in midfield. You put me on the green or put me in the fairway, I can get you on the green.
Wow.
So I felt good about that. Well, we had one guy that was, I would knock it on the green, you know, about 20, 30 feet away maybe. There was always that guy that knocked it inside of me. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't guarantee this.
Yeah.
Like, so I had to hang my hat on putting, and then I couldn't make the big putts, and then I'd make the second putts, and then there was a guy he did it one or two times, and it kind of started burning me, but he was like, yeah, I'm just working on my game as well. I was like, okay, I get it. At least tell me the disclaimer. Sounds like Gagne just no, I'm going to mark my ball, and I'm going to putt it, and I don't care what you say the entire round. That would piss me off.
By the way, just about speaking of golf, just about 20 minutes ago, the pairings were announced for the Open, and I have not had a chance at all to look them over. It just happened a little while ago. But just to let you know, 9:58 in England, it'll be, this is kind of funny, 1:58 in the morning. So basically 2 in the morning for us, Jordan Spieth will start the defense for him. And every single golfer starts on 1. They don't do half of you start on 10. Everybody's starting on 1. Coming up next, what are the top 5 storylines for the first half for the Arizona Diamondbacks? The reason why this matters is because most of them are negative. They're not a playoff team right now. What's going to happen? What's going to be done to fix it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. At Codeman Curtis sent me a tweet about the Diamondbacks and said, maybe it's the pain pills. You've whined the whole show. How about something positive, Mr. Black Cloud? Number one, they only gave me 3 days worth of pain pills for my bone spur surgery. So I've been off of pain pills for quite a while. By the way, if you ever have big surgery, get the block. Even if you don't know what that means, get the block. The anesthesiologist was actually this grumpy old man who was upset that the main doctor said he wants the block. And so they blocked all of my abilities to even use my foot, feel anything. Weirdest sensation ever was walking before the surgery after the block had already set in, because I walked to the bathroom. And it felt like walking with flippers on. So I had to like throw my foot up in the air to get it to land flat. And to look at your foot on the floor and not feel the floor, very, very strange.
You felt like a pirate.
I did.
Yeah, with a peg leg.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But get the block, because it's the only way to go. And it aided immensely in the healing. But, okay, you say, Cody, you say I'm Mr. Negative. Listen, tell me, you know, I'll make you do this, Max, because this will be a little more fair for you to start, okay? If you just tuned in, Wolf is off today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Wednesday. And Max Stark, Super Bowl champion, is filling in for Wolf. And that is, I wrote down what I would consider to be my 5 biggest storylines of the Diamondbacks' first half, okay?
Yep.
And I admit, 4 of them are negative. And I don't mind admitting it, because I'm a fan, and from between the hours of 10 in the morning and the next day at 6 in the morning, I'm a big fan. Everything's wonderful. Go team, go. I hope everybody's feeling great. I love you guys. This is great. from 6 to 10, I don't get to be a fan. I got to tell you how it is. And how it is right now is this is a team that's, I want to say something vulgar here, but blanking away the opportunity to go to the playoffs. And I don't feel that there's a sense of urgency. I don't feel anybody is looking at this thing saying, we've got to do something. So I admit, I'm negative about their chances because I don't think they look at it in the same light that I do. What would you say are your storylines of the first half before I give mine? And I want to, I'm kind of judging to see how positive yours are.
Well, I think, you know, if I'm searching for positives, I mean, I look at, like you said, pitching defense has been great this year. Mm-hmm. Peralta has been a nice surprise, especially going into the season, not knowing what to expect from him. A little disappointed in the offense. When you look at the lineup and expecting it to be greater than it is, it shows moments of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
But then it shows me what I was thinking in the back of my mind is that it was not going to be consistent enough without JD Martinez in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at how decimated the pitching got at one point because of a 16-inning game in the previous series and how it destroyed this team in the following series. And then at the end of it, to lose the way they did to the Braves, I was happy they won the series. They needed to win that series to keep pace. But at the end of the first half, you're still not in the lead.
Okay.
So I'm upset that there wasn't more done. And the offensive production still isn't there. Even though we saw Goldie slump at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
and then he came on in June and still doing well, but you can't depend on just Goldie and Peralta to really carry you. You need the rest of the crew to step up. I need to see why Souza was the compliment for J.D. Martinez.
Right.
I haven't seen it yet.
Right now, and granted there's been some injuries, but Steven Souza Jr. has one more home run than everyone involved in the Doug and Wolf show.
Of course.
So that's I consider that a negative. Here, you mentioned Goldie. Here's Goldie's thoughts, thanks to Fox Sports Arizona on the first half of the season.
You know, there's times we played good. Sometimes we could have played a little bit better, I'm sure, and try to come out in the second half, play hard, and see what happens.
And that's typical Goldie. Goldie is the type of guy that, you know, he understands he has a role to play as a leader. He'll speak to the media, but he doesn't enjoy it, and he doesn't really say much. And so even though if somebody else said something like that, I'd be all bent out of shape. That's Goldie. Even if things are going great, Goldie's going to say the exact same thing. Now, here are my five, and it was interesting listening to you because you were about 50-50,
yeah.
Positive, negative.
Yeah.
My top five, my number one story of all of the first half of the season for the Diamondbacks was May. I don't have the stat written down anymore, and I should have had it written down, but I believe it was 8-19 was the record for May.
Horrible May.
Goldie struggles in April and May. Mm-hmm. Is the second biggest story to me. The third biggest story is how fantastic the bullpen has been. And then number four is the injuries, which are a negative. And number five is the offense. This yeah. offense is horrific. If you want to look it up, I bet you, and I don't know this for a fact, out of every playoff team in baseball history, only the 1906 Cubs, or excuse me, 06 White Sox, were worse offensively than what I'm seeing from this Diamondbacks team. It's just, it's horrific offense. And that's why I'm saying something has to be done, because how long are you going to rely on this collection of people? Marte batting 238, Lamb batting 229, Souza 195. Even though Owings, you might say, is a bench player, Owings is playing all the time. And he's batting 194 and or getting an at-bat. Avila plays every time he's healthy. He's batting 148. We're not talking about I'm expecting all of these guys to bat 300. But I don't think I'm asking too much for them to be around 250. I don't think I'm asking too much for Jake Lamb to slug better than 365 as a corner outfielder. That's why it bothers me when I hear just things like this from Torrey Lovello.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him as a group. I delivered messages to different groups throughout the course of this trip. So, just to play good baseball coming into the All-Star break and coming out of it, enjoy the break and get away, but be ready to recharge your batteries as soon as you possibly can when you get back to Arizona, because it's going to be an exciting second half.
I'm smart enough to know Torrey Lovello is not going to tell Fox Sports Arizona, hey, what was your message for the first half? Oh, I ripped him. you know, I ripped him. I asked Goldie, why did you take so long to get going? I stared down the effort from the last game. I, you know, blah, 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 blah. He's not going to tell us that.
Yeah.
But I've heard too much, I feel, this year of everything's going to be okay. When I'm looking around and you try to tell me everything's going to be okay, listen, what is your plan? What are you going to do about it to make everything okay? Because if you're telling me we've got a team that's going to the playoffs, you're lying. No, you don't. When you look at the way the Dodgers are going to getting healthy and coming back, when you look at how well the Brewers are playing, when you look at the Phillies and the Braves, you look at the Giants and the Rockies, there are too many teams competing for the playoffs that are better or producing better at this time. You need a jolt. What are you going to do to bring it? That's what I want to know. I understand you're not going to tell me, but don't tell me to be positive either until it happens.
Yeah, no, you want to see the jumper cables come out, because right now this team is not anywhere near where we think they should be and where they could be. Like you said, because of May alone, you dug yourself in this hole where it's a four team race for the NL West. You could have really separated with a couple more wins. And now you're sitting a half a game behind, and you're not even in the wild card slot at the halfway point of the season. So something has to give. And you can't completely rely on pitching to save you. You have to have offensive output to complement, just like any other sport. I need offense and defense to work together to get us a win. Like, I get offense wins games, defense wins championships. Well, the D-backs need games so they can even get in the round to go for a championship. That defense means nothing if you can't put up enough runs to win a game. So what is going to be the difference? If you're telling me, hey, you know what? I think Jake Lamb's going to be on fire this second half, and you have a magic crystal ball and you looked into it and you saw what Jake Lamb's going to do, I'll give you that. A.J. Pollock is going to have to continue to play steady. Peralta's going to have to play steady. Goldschmidt's going to have to stay on fire. But if any of those things don't happen, any one of those things don't happen, what's your fallback plan?
Right. And the reason why I have so much urgency has everything to do with one simple fact. And that is, I don't think this organization is going to be, and it's not their fault, is going to be very good in 2021, 2022, 2020. I think that there's such a massive rebuild that will need to be taking place because the minor leagues are so bad that, therefore, I think this is your window. I think this is all you've got for a while. You got to go for it now. You got to go for everything now. Bring in Machado. Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to see the D-backs take on the Rockies this Friday night at Chase Field. You can listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Coming up next, does Terrell Owens deserve to be a Hall of Famer, especially after his latest issues? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.